Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1489, air date October 17th, 2024.
All right, everyone, welcome. Welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Idure. Today, we're going to be having a discussion with our incredible supporters and volunteers in North Carolina. And I just want to bring them in. We have an incredible set of people. Because of the run for Shiva for president, we started building up, you know, we have close to 1,000 people who've shown great interest to be supporters and volunteers. And out of that, we've created a leadership team. So what we want to do today is to give many of you the realities of growing the campaign and the fact that we are mobilized in North Carolina, that we have a ground force, and North Carolina wants Dr. Shiva for president. And as a part of that, you're going to hear journeys of individual people. So you understand that this movement is not a top-down movement. It's not like anyone here is being paid to do this. Everyone went through their journeys to come to a point to understand why we need to build an independent bottoms-up movement. And that's what I hope all of you get an opportunity to share, because everyone here, and there's many people like this in North Carolina, have gone through their journey. Sonia is our state leader there. Eric is just a new leader who joined us, so he'll share his journey. Then we have Ann and Nicole. Nicole will share what's going on in the parts of the northwest part of North Carolina, which has been hit from the hurricane. And even in the midst of that, our volunteers are out there getting the word out and supporting each other, et cetera. So that's what we want to talk about. To those of you coming in, let me just play a couple. You see that we have a tonight at 7 p.m. So we'll be ending in about 30-40 minutes, but we have an orientation that we do right there. You guys can see every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. In fact, there's one today. You guys can go to vashiva.com/orientation. We also have a town hall that's going on. We're going to talk about governance. And you can go to shivaforpresident.com/townhall and RSVP, and you'll get an invitation to that. And you'll see many other people, but it's an opportunity for you guys to all learn that this is a bottoms-up movement by the people for the people. So let me begin with Sonia. And Sonia is going to share with you, you know, all of our people, our panel is going to share with you who they are, right? Just as people. So we want you to understand that our movement, again, has very real people, Americans who work for a living, okay? They have other jobs, other careers. And they, so let me start with Sonia. Sonia, go ahead. Why don't you tell us your journey, you know, where you grew up, you know, how you got to North Carolina, et cetera.
Hi, Dr. Shiva. Yes, I grew up in Ohio. I studied engineering in college and moved to Maryland and worked there for a while, got married, started working at a family business flower shop and ended up staying there and helped run the business for 35 years. It's a small flower shop right outside of DC, a lot of work. And my husband and I recently retired, and North Carolina was our state of choice to retire to, and we love this beautiful state. We're very much enjoying it here.
Where did you grow up, Sonia? Were you from? Were you born in North Carolina?
No, I grew up in Ohio.
Uh huh. And you studied engineering?
Yeah, civil engineering.
Uh huh. And what was your first job out of college? Tell us a little bit about. Yeah.
I worked at a geotechnical firm in Bethesda, Maryland, testing soil. That was my first
I see.
Out of college, yeah.
And how'd you end up in North Carolina?
We just knew we wanted to be somewhere on the coast. So we spent a couple of years just studying the different parts of the East Coast. And we picked this area because we just loved it.
Yeah, and just to let everyone know, so because we want people to learn a little bit of geography, right? So if you look at the, you guys are up here, right? In, right here, in Brunswick, right?
Yeah, down at that tip, yeah. I'm very close to Southport, Wilmington area. Mm-hmm.
So are you, can you see the ocean here? Because this is the ocean, right? And then South Carolina is down here. I see. So anyway, so Sonia's from here, the southern part, which is essentially right near the border of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for sharing that. Let's go over to Nicole. Nicole, how are you? If you can come on, Nicole, I just want you, some people to understand who you are and how you got to North Carolina and just, you know, where you grew up, what you studied and all those kind of things. So if you can share that, that'd be great. Hold on, Nicole, I'm going to turn on your volume. 1 second. I'll turn. Go ahead. Oh, go ahead there, Nicole.
Okay. So I grew up in Ocean City, New Jersey. Hold on, Scout, go lay down. My dog is starting to bug me. Yep. Anyway, I grew up in Ocean City, New Jersey. And when I was a young adult, I started a home residential, you know, residential cleaning business. And that's really what I've done most of my life. And when I got married, it became a family business. And then my daughter now does that too, because she loved helping us when she was a young lady. So what brought me to North Carolina is, in New Jersey, I became more an activist for anti-war movement. And I got involved with that. Then I became what was that?
Yeah, what years were there? Give us some time.
Oh, what year was that? That was about 2003 and 4 when I just saw what Israel was doing to Lebanon. They were bombing the hell and out of Lebanon and killing so many people. I was horrified. I just didn't know anything like that was ever happening. And when I started to research it, I just was horrified and started to join March with Palestinians and Jewish people who were against that. And I met a lot of wonderful people going to these marches, which really got me into the activism movement of, you know, standing up for wickedness, standing up against wickedness, what was going on in the world. And it just woke me up, you know, got me out of my own little bubble, you know. So then I got involved with the Ron Paul movement, thinking, you know, that Ron Paul running for president, and that was, he actually built a pretty good bottoms up movement, but he just kind of petered out in the end. He didn't stand up for himself when they stole his primary. So what brought me to North Carolina is I came across a story about this man who had this nature preserve, and the county was trying to shut him down and possibly take his land. And that was Eustis. This was 2012. And I was horrified. So I took like two or three people from Philadelphia and we drove all the way down here to help Eustis fight the county. And we helped him with that. And the people came together to help Eustis. And Eustis wrote a bill that was passed in the North Carolina State House to preserve historic farms like the one that he built. So that's how I met Eustis and got involved with things going on down here. And what finally brought me down here to live was New Jersey just became very hard to have a business in. They just charged so much money for taxes and insurance. And Eustis started an Airbnb business. And he said, could you help me get my homes ready for that? And I said, sure. I came down here to help him. And I just wound up staying because it was so beautiful.
No, but you had your own home residential business, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I have one now. I started one here.
Just to give people an idea, because some people are asking about North Carolina. Again, let's go to the map here because I want people to understand. So, Nicole, you're from more the Northwest area, right?
Yeah, I'm in Watauga. Right. It's beautiful here. It's beautiful.
So right here, right?
Yes.
Up in that, so this is where Nicole's from. And all along here, Nicole, you were sharing is where the hurricane hit, right? So south of you, all north of you here.
Yes, county, I'm trying to look at it. The counties like Avery County, Ashe County, Mitchell County, Yancey, just devastation. Yeah. Into so Tennessee.
And Tennessee's up here, right? Tennessee's over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So we'll come back to that. Nicole will share with us what's going on. But to those of you who are just joining us, this is a discussion that we're having on letting everyone know. As you know, we got all of our electors. People can vote for us in North Carolina as a write-in. And it wasn't easy to do this. You have to actually go get electors and you have to get on the ballot. Sonia will talk more about that. But let's go over to Anne. Anne, how are you? Anne, maybe you can again share with us, you know, how you got to North Carolina, what you did, so your occupation and those things. You know, people joining us, Sonia shared that she studied civil engineering. Anne, as an entrepreneur, started her own home cleaning business, and she helped lots and lots of people. So go ahead, Anne, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, hey, I grew up in Sweden. My parents met there after the war, the Second World War.
Where, did you say Sweden?
Yeah.
Oh, you grew up in Sweden, okay.
Yeah. My dad was a Holocaust survivor. My mom grew up in England during the Blitz, and they met there. And I still have family there. I have three sisters, and my mom's still living. I came to America in 1984 to go to graduate school. I studied agricultural economics, and I got two master's degrees in that, more or less. One more in business management. And then I went to work in Washington, D.C., for about 15 years, where I worked for the World Bank and traveled abroad to different countries, including India and Bangladesh and Eastern Africa. And after that, I moved with my then husband to North Carolina in 2003, to the Boone area, in fact, close to where Nicole lives. So I lived in the mountains.
Let's just bring that up so people can understand where that is. On the map, maybe you can just point out where you are in North Carolina. Is it up here in Asheville, Watauga?
I came to Watauga County, and I lived there for 5 or 6 years, and then I moved down to Lincoln County, and then to Catawba.
Where's Lincoln here?
It's all really close. If you look right below Watauga, you see Caldwell County.
Yep. Oh, there's Lincoln right here. Okay. I see it.
So I've lived in that area pretty much since 2003, in one county or another. And 2 years ago, I moved over to Stokes County, which is close to Winston-Salem, which is not really far from there.
So show me where that is on this map here. Do I go east or west or south? Sorry, I'm ignorant of this.
You go up to the left-hand corner there, Watauga, go over a couple of counties.
Okay. And I go this, and so I'm here. Do I keep going west, Madison, Haywood?
No. I can't actually see this. This is too small. Okay. If you look from you see Ashe County, and then it says Surrey County, and then it says Stokes County.
Oh, I see, right here. I see. So you moved from Lincoln up to Stokes. Okay. Got it.
That's
I said. Okay. Current.
And at this point, I am retired. I have two sons. And the reason for my last move is I have one son that lives in Mount Airy, which is 30 minutes north of here, and another one in Winston-Salem, which is roughly 30 minutes south of here.
Mm-hmm. And then what did you do again for a living? You said you learned agricultural, so was it soil work? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Agricultural economics.
What's that? Agriculture.
Economics.
Did you actually use that work?
Yes. I worked for the World Bank for 15 years.
Uh-huh. And what were some of the things you learned from that or did it? What were some of the interesting projects, if any?
Well, I enjoyed the forestry projects, but we were also doing agricultural extension projects and agri-industry projects. It was an assortment. The fun thing actually was to help people do things that they wanted to do to get moving on the ground. That was the fun part, working with the clients in the client country.
Got it. So we have someone from North Carolina, Sonia. I don't know if you can see, I'm throwing up some of the comments. So there's someone who just joined us, Econ Recon, Econ Recon, who said that they're going to be voting for us in North Carolina. So Econ, if you want, you can go right to shivaforpresident.com and sign up as a volunteer, and then Sonia will reach out to you because she's a leader in North Carolina. So those of you joining, thanks for sharing that, Anne. We'll come back. Let's go over to Barbara Boyk. So Barbara, if you can share very briefly your where you grew up, just the first part, where you grew up, and your background and what you do in North Carolina, your vocation and what you've been doing. Go ahead, Barbara. Barbara, can you hear us? Barbara?
Mm.
Got to unmute your mic. Hold on. Can you unmute your mic, Barbara? You have to unmute your mic, Barbara.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah. So just take minute or so. Yeah. Go ahead, Barbara. Go ahead.
I grew up in Pembroke, North Carolina, which is in Robeson County. This is home to the Native American Lumbee tribe. Robeson County is down in the southeast western side, actually close to Shalote, where Sonia lives.
I see. It's right
Sonia
here.
Sonia is south of me.
Yes, I see Robeson.
On the South Carolina border.
So it's Robeson. Okay, right here.
Robeson County, yes.
Okay, got it.
Robeson County, yes. Right. This is predominantly Native American population here, except for the University of North Carolina. And I actually grew up directly behind the university. But I left this area when I was 17 years old. I got married and moved to Houston, Texas. I was there for 2.5 years, and I've lived lots of places. I ended up in Alexandria, Virginia, and attended the Computer Learning Center and got a diploma in computer operations. And I worked for a contractor at the U.S. Military Personnel Command Center, right beside the Pentagon. That was actually during Desert Storm, and we had bomb threats every day. After that, I lived in Fredericksburg, Virginia, for a while, working for a construction company. I've actually worked for 3 different construction companies. I worked for Toll Brothers for a while. Toll Brothers is one of the top home builders in America. I lived in Germany for a while, in Mülheim an der Ruhr. After that, I came back to the States. I had gotten married in Germany to a mechanical engineer who Siemens is actually an expert in his field. We moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and there, I worked for BASF for a while, Continental Tire. But I think the easiest job I had was working as a computer operator. I did the least amount of work, but got paid the most money. But anyway, just to try to be more brief, when this COVID thing started, In March 2020, when they were having this daily COVID task force reports.
Barbara, we'll get to that in a
little
while.
The first time that Fauci walked up to the podium, I looked at him and I thought to myself,
Barbara?
He's a lying little piece of shit.
Yeah, so Barbara, just wait one second. We'll come back to that, okay? We just want to introduce people first, okay? We'll come to that. Thank you. We'll come back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to, first of all, introduce people. So let's go over to Eric. Eric is in our leadership program. Eric, can you share a little bit about your journey, you know, where you grew up, et cetera? Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I'm from Connecticut. That's where I grew up. I went to UConn. My parents grew up here. And my career has been around finance, sales, marketing, and entrepreneurship. My father, I would say, has probably been a big influence through my life and my career. He, the family kind of started from nothing, and he kind of taught me a lot about discipline and hard work, and influenced a lot of my behaviors growing up. For example, one of my dad's first jobs was selling light bulbs door to door, and he eventually got to a place where, you know, he was running 5 radio stations and then had his own business. So it's kind of a story of, you know, that hard work kind of thing. And he kind of gave me his journey growing up, where he went to UConn as well. And he met some friends his sophomore year and was kind of like, you know, why are they getting A's and I'm getting C's and B's? And found out that they were studying 4 hours a night and going through all of the behaviors. And all the things that comes with that learning. So that kind of really has put a footprint on, you know, perspective, my consciousness, you know, my behaviors. So yeah, Connecticut boy. And that's kind of the high level of my journey.
And so what do you do now, Eric? You still do, did you say marketing or what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I have my own business. I've had it for a little while now. It's been focused around marketing, dealing with insurance companies, and now we've been doing a lot around AI, how that can help you out through different ways, through, you know, chatbots and, you know, content creation and things of that nature. But it's always kind of been based around the marketing, and this is kind of being a confluence and how that can help things, if you will.
Yeah. That's great. So to those of you joining us, we have about 644 people here. We just want to let you know that today's discussion is an opportunity for everyone to know. You guys have seen me do a lot of videos. We want to feature our, you know, the citizens of North Carolina who've been out of my run or our run for president. What's emerged out is some amazing people have come bottoms up. And the reason we want to share this is the people's stories you're hearing here are everyday people. There's no booby effing Kennedys here. There's no Trumps. There's no paid volunteers. These are everyday people like everyone listening. And that's what makes this movement unique. These are everyday people who lifted themselves up from bottoms up, studied hard, came from, you know, we have Anne, who's an immigrant from another country, Sweden. Sonia built her own business. A lot of very strong women, as you can see, you know, who came bottoms up. So what I would like to do is go back to Sonia. Sonia shared her journey as a civil engineer. And Sonia, you went through your journey, end up in North Carolina. How did you come across our movement? And maybe you can answer that and how, what compelled you to want to get involved with this thing? We're talking about shattering the swarm, changing the system. It takes a quite a, what I want everyone to understand, that it's a quite a unique set of people, a very different journeys. And they come to a certain consciousness level. Go ahead, Sonia. What brought you here to this movement?
Yeah, so, right. So basically, as a business owner, you know, up in the DC area, when this whole COVID thing started, I felt responsible to gather. None of it made sense. Everything they were saying to me seemed crazy, and I just needed to do research and find out what was really going on. And that's how I found you, Dr. Shiva. And I started, you know, I signed up, I donated, I think you were running for
Senate. Yeah, I think we.
You had to deal with the chaos of, you know, those 3 years. So I wasn't able really to do a whole lot. But one of the things that appealed to me was, I never believed in the two-party system. I never participated in politics. I just thought it was all a big sham. So I never put any energy or anything to it. But everything that you were saying made 100% sense to me, and it validated, it resonated with me, validated what I believed was happening. And you gave me something tangible to do. Like, you know, sitting online and complaining about people or, you know, whatever these, you know, to me, it was just a waste of time. But I could actually do something. I could actually go out and collect signatures. And this was so that I could have a voice, and so that the people of North Carolina could have a voice. And it didn't really seem. So that was what appealed to me. And besides the fact that you tell the truth at the right time, and you're, you know, very informative. You make an effort to inform people so that they can, you know, information is power, and they can make their own decisions, and they can see through the bull crap.
So I just put up something. Around that time, if you remember, Sonia, in the lockdowns, Trump was promoting the lockdowns. Booby effing Kennedy was promoting them. So we have an interesting viewer who said, I'm from North Carolina, Mecklenburg County. And she goes, I'm voting for Trump. And someone, Maggie Brene says, Laura, then, well, what the fuck are you doing here? And she says, I want to listen to the opposition. So, Laura, if you're still there, welcome. You know, we have many, many former Trump people who got through the Trump nonsense, and we had to do the work to explaining to people. You know, Trump made about $500 million off my work using all the stuff I did on election integrity. But I just want to take a quick break. Not a break, but I want to share with people a video that we put together, which really made former Trumpers wake up. In fact, there was a woman, this video, she came to one of our open houses. You guys may remember this. I don't know if you guys remember this, but she came to one of our open houses, and she was big, big Trump. And then we played her this video. After this video, she began crying. And she said, holy shit, everything you're saying is true. So I want, and this is really a video to Laura, because, you know, we welcome you here. Our goal, you may not listen to us today. That's okay. We're not here to convince you. But we want you to watch this video, because, Sonia, you went through that journey. And I think at the time, you got great confidence in what I was doing, we were doing, because we were telling the truth at the right time. And we were consistent in hammering that away without trying to people please. So this is a video comprising who Trump was. And by the way, I put up a lot of signs for Trump. I just didn't wear a MAGA hat and talk MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. I was out in the cold, put up signs, gave him $2,600, met with him a couple of times, right? And I had to do the dirty job of putting this video together. But here you go.
I will say this, Hillary Clinton has to go to jail, okay? She has to go to jail.
I think she should be in jail for what she did with her emails.
But if I win, I am going to instruct my attorney general to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation.
Special prosecutor, here we come, right?
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
Donald Trump wins the presidency.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton, and I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard.
But in a meeting today at the New Times, where reporters were live tweeting the conversation, Mr. Trump said this when asked about prosecuting her. "I don't want to hurt the Clintons," he said. "I really don't. She went through a lot and suffered greatly in many ways."
And Bill and Hillary, and they were going to Michigan. No, it's okay. No, forget it. That plays great before the election. No, we don't care, right? That plays great before the election. No, we don't care, right? That plays great before the election. No, we don't care.
The end is near for most pharma companies, and this is why they're so desperate to make sure you get jabbed and poked and jabbed and poked and jabbed and poked. And you're going to see why. Follow the money. Take Pfizer.
In 2011,
they made $65 billion in revenue. In 2020, they only made $41 billion. They lost $25 billion in revenue. Pharmaceutical companies are tanking. They're not doing well. And you can sue a pharmaceutical company. They're saying, my revenues are going down with pharmaceutical drugs, which are single molecule drugs. But this Jabeens, this Jabination stuff, hey, that's pretty good. I can't get sued. It's growing at 17, 20% per year. Big margins. I don't even have to do the same level of testing. Pharmaceutical drugs have to go through in vitro. Then you have to do animal testing. Then you have to go to phase one, phase two, phase three. But thank you to Operation Warp Speed. So they could circumvent a lot of fundamental testing.
Operation Warp Speed, to shorten the vaccine development timeline.
And I've always felt it was the most important is the vaccine. I would recommend it, and I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it, and a lot of those people voted for me, frankly, but it's a great vaccine, it's a safe vaccine, and it's something that works. And we've been working round the clock, and what I got the FDA to do, this would have happened. This would have happened in many, many years from now if we didn't, if I didn't get involved, and if we didn't get involved. What I got the FDA to do.
Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you. 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 Give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved.
Now Congress has certified the results.
We will never give up. We will never concede.
A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th.
We will never give up. We will never concede.
My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power.
Hello?
So we wanted to share that. But Sonia said when she came across this movement, it was during that period, and she was looking for people who would, you know, educate, right? And it would give us knowledge. Sonia, was there anything else that moved you to want to start getting involved?
Well, like I said, it was just not being able to leave the leadership, particularly Trump. You know, the whole COVID thing, and you know, the vaccine mandates and all of these lockdowns and just the chaos. I knew there had to be something better.
Yep.
Than what we have. So, you know, when you said you were running for president, you know, I was like, okay, this is the only person that I know of that doesn't bow down to the establishment. He tells the truth at the right time.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of connectivity.
The establishment.
Sonia, just to let you know, sometimes you're dropping out and coming back in. So I don't know if you're on Wi-Fi, but it's okay. We just want to let you know. We're getting you most of it.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, Kyle Rossing, by the way, says, I really dig and appreciate how interactive this live is. Amazing. Much love. So thanks, Sonia, for sharing that. Let's go over to Nicole. Nicole, so tell us how you came across and what motivated you to, you know, dedicate portion of your time to this. Go ahead, Sonia.
Wow. Let me just say, watching the Trump video, I loved Donald Trump. I went to a couple of his rallies. Because of being an activist, I'm like, oh my God, this guy is not a part of the establishment. He's just saying the right things. And I really, really, you want to believe someone so bad because you want change so badly. And the thing that makes me mad about the whole Donald Trump story is when you go to his rallies, you meet Americans who love their country. It actually doesn't seem like it's about Donald Trump when you go to those rallies. You're meeting people who love the country. They're hardworking people. They should be in this movement. They should be in this movement. What he's done is he's gathered up the people who really should be here, and he has fooled them, thinking that he is one of them. It enrages me now. I'm so mad watching that video.
So Nicole, you made a very, very brilliant observation, and we should really talk. But look, you were an anti-war activist. I'm still an anti-war activist. Most of us who are sincere activists, we know it's a lot of hard work getting on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Even within us, there's a part of us which thinks someone's going to come save us. So when Donald Trump came and said all this anti-establishment stuff, there's a part of us which is like, oh, he's going to do it for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that Trump did not do this on his own. And I just want to bring just me and Nicole on this for a second. So I think the thing to understand, Nicole, is that they have data, literally lots and lots of data. They know people are getting angry. The everyday Americans in this country, working class people, are getting angry.
Right.
And so they knew that they had to give people somebody that would talk the anti-establishment rhetoric to fill that vacuum, to make sure people didn't follow real movements like ours. And this is a very important observation that you just made. This was not done accidentally. They understood the messaging, make America great, lock her up, right? Drain the swamp. They knew activists like you or me, we would connect with that. And people were wanting that. Now they knew they couldn't sell this with Hillary. So they had to find a guy like Trump who would sell it. And initially people like you and others, because he said enough shit, we're like, wow. Right? We were bamboozled.
Correct.
But we got over quickly because we're activists, right? But others who weren't activists stuck on with this. And this is really, really important to understand. So the establishment does create these people because they have data. Sure. Someone just put Palantir. Palantir is an organization that is gathering data from watching conversations on social media. They know exactly how we're thinking. They're watching this conversation. They're taking our messaging points, right? And they know how to find a front man for those messaging points so people don't build an independent bottoms-up movement. And so well, what you just said is, why aren't people here? And that's precisely his job. His job was to make sure people would not be here. This was done by design. And I want really people to understand the observation that Nicole just made. This was not accidental. They have enough data, particularly with Mossad, the CIA. Their whole goal is to make sure everyday activists like you, I, Sonia, Barbara, Eric, and go with Trump, outsource it to Jill Stein, who's another Zionist racist, right? Jill Stein is now doing a campaign under the guise of offering reparations to blacks to sucker them in. And you saw that interview I did yesterday where this woman would try to do a gotcha interview with me, a black woman, a black house slave, I called her, who's absolutely bought and paid for by Jill Stein, but she didn't disclose that. So that's what they're doing. They know our movement exists. People are, and they have to find these people to distract people. That's why it's really, really important we grow our movement. That's why people like you, Nicole, who've gone through the activism experience, even you could get manipulated, you say? And that's how clever these people are. They're literally listening to anti-establishment movements, and they're just stealing their rhetoric. It's like marketing.
Totally. Totally marketing. And I'm just begging anyone who thinks Trump is the man, please, I'm begging you. The founding fathers wanted people like us to go represent them. The founding fathers wanted hardworking, real people to help move this country forward. And I'm telling you right now, as a Trump supporter, as someone who went to his rallies and who connected with other Americans, I'm begging you. You have to become a real person and save yourself. You have to just join other people who understand that concept. So, and how I discovered you, Dr. Shiva, was during the COVID thing as well. And I was starting to get upset. You know, when you're a truth seeker, you just want the truth, you know, and you have to say the magic words, I was wrong. You have to be a real truth person. You have to admit when you're wrong about something and keep going forward. So when I started to hear Trump say promoting the vaccine and promoting Dr. Fauci, it just, the light bulb went on. This guy is part of the establishment after all. And then I came across you, Dr. Shiva, because I was already listening to you with your other videos about, you know, eating well and nutrition, those concepts always fascinate me, being, you know, healthy as possible. And so hearing you speak the truth at the right moment, I just kept listening and listening, and I realized what was going on. So that's how I became a warrior scholar and a part of this movement.
And to everyone listening, we have created an entire program so people can go from like kindergarten to, you know, junior high school to PhD level in our program, meaning we've created an entire program where people, we recommend people go watch the Shatter the Swarm video. And by the way, our orientation has started, but go to shattertheswarm.com, study that. Then we give a free course called Get Off the Plantation. Once you understand how the few control the many, the issues, do you want to get off the plantation? And then you go to the Warrior Scholar Program, where you actually learn the tools on how to fight. So let's go over to Anne. Anne, again, if you can share with us kindly your journey on how you came across this movement. And you've shared with us that you came originally from Sweden. You studied agricultural economics. I mean, obviously, everyone here, by the way, works for a living. No one here is Donald Trump or Jared Kushner or Kamala Harris, who basically, frankly, never worked. But maybe you can talk to us about, Anne, how you came across this movement and what compelled you to get involved. Go ahead, Anne.
Well, I'm a relative here. When I started to realize things the way I thought was during COVID, because suddenly with that thing, it was like was in a sci-fi movie, and they were running the same videos from China and wherever over and over and over. And I go, like, something is really, really off. And then I started looking for what it was and got a lot of, you know, ideas that there were no viruses, et cetera, et cetera. And then I voted for Hillary in 2016, for Trump in 2020. I kind of saw, I didn't get the warp speed as fast as you guys did. I saw that the Democrats had really been lying about Trump and promoting him as, and doing these fake videos where they just put things together, say what they wanted to say, not what was really said. And that stunned me. And then after seeing what happened in the election, I was absolutely shaken. I couldn't imagine that anything like that would be happening. It was beyond what I could deal with. And that's where I started seeing you, Dr. Shiva, because I watched some of the work that Mike Lindell and others were pulling together, and you guys were all working on that interference thing. And after January 6th and Trump swearing that he would never, ever surrender and then surrendered, I just walked away from everything. I didn't want anything to do with anything to do with politics, nothing at all. And that lasted until about this summer when I started looking again. And I found you after I, you know, because when Trump started going together with J.D. Vance, and then I was looking at Bobby Kennedy, who promptly turned over to Trump. And I go, like, okay, none of that's going to work. And through David Knight, his show, you were on and you spoke. And that's where I came to join here. And I joined and I started handing out cards because I would love to have a community of people who thinks the same way that you do and that I do now.
Yeah, and thanks a lot for sharing that. Yours is a very, very honest journey, right? Hillary, Trump, thinking Booby Kennedy could do something, right? And I think your journey, Anne, is quite very valuable for everyone to listen to. Again, you're a very smart person, you know, degree in agricultural economics. It's not like you don't know what's going on, right? But I think it's important to understand that the establishment creates these characters very, very powerfully. They're backed by billions. I think this election, I think $15 billion has been raised. Did you guys know that? $15 billion. I mean, this is $50,000. And we're on the ballot in nearly every state as write-in and 13 ballots. They raised $15 billion. But what Anne's talking about that I want to share with everyone is we've made it easy for people to get involved because we all work hard. And so what we told people is the future is offline. So if we go to that site that Anne, you're talking about, you can go to our website, shivaforpresident.com. And when you go there, we've made it easy that people can actually download. If you don't have money and you have local printers, you don't have to buy anything from us. You can go right here and we have this card. It says, vote right in Dr. Shiva for president. The message is save yourself. No one's coming to save us. So a lot of people can't handle this message. It means they got to do something. So it's not Trump. It's not Hillary. It's not Booby. It's us. And the back of it tells you they're killing you. And we don't mean to be hyperbolic here. Span is going down, cost of living is going up. And then we want you to go watch this video, Shatter the Swarm. You can scan that. But I understand, Anne, you've given out close to 1,000 of these cards, Sonia was saying recently. Mm-hmm. And you're getting the message out there. So that's what we're doing. These are everyday people. Let me bring in Barbara Boix. Barbara, if you can share in a couple minutes, you know, your journey and how you got involved in this movement and what compelled you to do so. Then we'll go to Eric. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, what happened with me was when this COVID thing started and they were having the daily task force report, the first day that Fauci walked up to the podium to speak, the thought just came in my mind, he's a lying little piece of shit. And when he started to talk, I was expecting him to educate people on immunity, because at one time I was attending Pembroke State University. I was pulling a double major of chemistry and biology, but I got in a car wreck, a really bad car wreck, and that was the end of that. But when Fauci did that, I got so angry that I actually unplugged my TV and put it in the closet, and it's still there. And I got on my phone, because I don't have a computer, and I started investigating, researching, trying to figure out, you know, what in the world was going on, because all the reporters were spread out and masked up, but they were all huddled up there together. And I was for Trump too, but when he came and said the vaccines are safe, that's when I freaking fell out with him. But anyway, I had started looking at these other channels, and sometimes I would look at the Jane Ruby channel, and I checked her channel out one day, and there you were, and you were going to talk about adrenochrome, and I'm like, wow, you know, because in my studying and investigating, yes, I had came across it, you know, that's how Hollywood says young looking and blah, 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 and all the elites, you know, I dig it to it. But when I saw you, and you were going to give a different perspective on it, systematic, molecular, I was so impressed. I was like, wow, I got to hear this. And by the time you finished speaking that day, it was August 2nd, 2023. I didn't have the money that day, but the next day I had the money and I joined. And I will never forget that day, August 3rd, 2023. That's how I found you, Dr. Shiva, because I had given up too. I said, I will never freaking vote again. It's bullshit. You know, the selection bullshit. And I had given up hope. And I was waiting for somebody to have the freaking courage, to have the balls to start speaking up about all these things that nobody would, but you did. And that's what drew me to you. And when I took the Warrior course.
One other thing, Barbara, what we've done now is we recommend everyone start. When we did that, we put the course together and we just threw it out there. Now we've become a little more pedantic, where we recommend everyone go to shatterthesworm.com. Just go watch that video. 15 minutes, everyone should do that. It's like kindergarten. And it gives it, because sometimes, as you know, Barbara, we would get people coming to our open house. They're still supporting Trump, still supporting Bernie Sanders. And what we wanted to do now is created a much more organized structure. So we tell people to go watch Shatter the Swarm, because that's going to eliminate all their illusions. Second, go watch the plantation videos. All these series of videos, we teach them a systems approach. Then you become a warrior scholar. Now we could just try to say, oh, just become a warrior scholar. We didn't want to do that. So that's what we've done. Let's go to Eric. Thanks, Barbara. So Eric, tell us your journey that you do marketing, right? How you got to wanting to become part of this movement. What was sort of, you've shared with your background, how you grew up, you learned a lot of values from your dad to really work hard, right? And be disciplined. But what was the journey that got you involved here?
Yeah, so, you know, my story is a little similar to people. It seems there was obviously an inflection point with Trump and the pandemic, but I kind of always been a very, you know, hard thinker and worker. And I had a friend/good acquaintance that I kept in touch with for a long time. And he was in military intelligence, actually. And around the Trump COVID era is when he started talking a lot about a lot of things. And he actually opened up some podcasts, well, and Facebook groups and things of that nature. And he kind of introduced me to a lot of this control systems engineering and these Zionism and these secret societies and all these bloodlines that kind of are the establishment that rule things now. And he kind of gave me a rational way to look at things with, he used control systems, and he used this thing called Cartan drama theory, which is serious, similar to like the Hegelian dialect, which is kind of like basically what the media does to play with propaganda. And he basically told me that, you know, he would never, like, you know, look at the world the same way after he was trained in that military intelligence environment. And I didn't quite understand it, you know, like I wanted to, but I still had that cognitive dissonance. Like I voted for Trump and he said all the right things like we've discussed. And I kind of, you know, I stumbled on to your stuff when I was diving deep into like the deep state and all this stuff, and you popped up, you know, and that's Shadow of the Swarm video popped up. So I went through that whole thing and it really kind of gave a great framework on, you know, what's going on, and gave us, you know, like some answers on how to look at things objectively. And, you know, I had dissonance with Trump, and I was kind of like, you know, when I learned things like, you know, he gave Fauci a medal on his last day, like this guy was literally trying to get him out of office. And why would he give him a medal? Like, that didn't make any sense to me, you know, or like the CISA 2018 there, where they had all this stuff going on. And then he had just, you know, go ahead, you know, allow everyone to spy on everyone and censor everyone. And it was just, to me, I you know, that was kind of things where I was like, guy's saying all the right things, but, you know, he's contradicting his actions, you know. And, you know, you learn things out there, like the not so obvious establishment, which is basically similar to people talk about, like controlled opposition. You know, these people are kind of the slaves of the establishment, where they're sellouts, you know, for whatever reason. You know, it could be how the world is. And it kind of just, you know, I bring this up again, but it was like, it took me a couple of days to say, you know, I got to get over this guy saying all the right things. And now I see all these people on Telegram and everything else, and I'm like, they're literally corralling you back to the establishment. Like, you know, there's no, you know, people aren't thinking, they're just looking there saying, someone makes a claim and then they automatically believe it. I'm like, what's the source? You know, where's your discernment chart? How are you critically thinking about this? You know, what, just because someone makes a claim, how do you know what that's going on? So it's kind of amazing how this stuff works and the world works. And this guy from military intelligence who was on the inside telling me how they project things on the outside. And now I'm here saying, okay, you know, you're providing a way to, you know, critical think about things and a process and things to get through so that we can actually make a difference. You know, like I hear people talking all the time, you know, we have the left, we have the right, but that's all we got. And now I'm like, no, there's another option, actually. You know, you can actually, there's things you can do. You know, you get out of that box of thinking and can gain that new consciousness. And now it's like, okay, we do have options, you know? So that's kind of
like, I mean, Eric, I think very well articulated. I think the key thing is that once you take a systems approach, it's really about critical thinking, but systems thinking gives you a framework on how to think. We are not here to teach people what to think, but we're here to teach people how to think. And there are fundamental principles. Every system has an input and an output, transport, conversion, storage. The physics of what we teach in Truth, Freedom, Health is what the elites learn, but they use it to maximize power, profit, control. Our goal is to maximize the interests of the 8 billion people. So you could use any of these weapons of knowledge to, for various reasons, for great evil or great good. The weapons of knowledge stand, you know, they're sort of objective. So the issue is, do the 8 billion of us who occupy this planet want to advance society where all of us are co-creators, or is the goal to eliminate most of us and just create an Elysium for about 500,000 people or 500,000,000 people, whatever that number is? That's what the purpose of creating robots and technologies and all this technology, again, by in and of itself is not a bad thing. But anyway, I wanted to, we're getting very nice comments. Someone just put up here a very sweet comment. And she said, what did she say? Let me just find this again. It's a very nice comment. She put, it was right here. I just missed it. She said, it's so refreshing, if you guys can see this, listening to you all, this is what a true campaign looks like. America belongs to the people. Go get it. November 5th, Truth, Freedom, Health. Okay? So that's why we wanted to do this. Okay? You won't find any other campaign talking like this and you hearing this movement. This, and you, all of these people, all of these people, our movement, and get us on the ballot. So I want to go back to Sonia as we wrap up. We can take another about 5 or 10 minutes because we got to get By the way, everyone can come to our town hall, 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., which has already started. But Sonia did an amazing job because we had lots and lots of volunteers. And Sonia will share the journey, how she had to mobilize them, contact them, prod them, kick them in the butt, right? But the goal was we needed to get on the ballot. And Sonia, can you just share with us the details of that journey that you went through? Because I think really people need to understand that Booby Kennedy raised $20 million to get on the ballot, right? We didn't do that. We did it by hard work for all of you guys and just sheer hard work. So Sonia, can you share, you know, what is it to get electors? How many electors you needed? What you had to do? Go ahead.
Okay, so in the state of North Carolina, you have to have an elector for each district, plus two at large, plus two alternates. And we had to collect, in order to do the write-in campaign, we had
how many electors did you need? What's the total, Sonia?
So it's a total of 18 if you count the two alternates.
Right, and in Massachusetts, we needed 14. In Tennessee was 11. So you had 18. That's a lot of people. Go ahead. That you needed to get just to be electors. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, the requirement for signatures, verified signatures, is 500. There was a few of us, you know, in different parts of the state going around collecting signatures. And as soon as we were able to, we started turning those in so that we could and that kind of helped us to pace ourselves and get to the 500 mark. I spent a lot of time talking with the county here where we were turning in the signatures, as well as up in Raleigh, the State Board of Election office, and making sure that, because you have to make sure that all the paperwork is exactly the way they want it. And then obviously there's a lot of paperwork that has to be filed, and there's deadlines with that as well. But I would say the hardest part of all of this was being able to go out there as a citizen and exercise my rights to petition for signatures, because people don't understand the process and they would run you off that, you know, Walmart parking lot or whatever, the manager would come out and run you off. And then, you know, you had to try to educate them or go to another place to collect. That was the hardest part.
Yeah. So to everyone listening, the other candidates hired signature collectors, professional signature collectors, paid them $15, $20, you know, paid them 10 bucks a signature. So Kennedy said he needed to get 1.5 million signatures, and he raised $15 million from Zionists. And by the way, he pocketed a lot of that because then he just stopped running. It's a complete scam. So Sonia, you had to get others motivated to collect signatures. I think Barbara was one of the people who helped you collect some signatures, right? I think Barbara's here. So Barbara, yes. Go ahead. Why don't you share that process you went through to get us on the ballot. Go ahead, Barbara.
To be honest, I was really, really nervous, and I had anxiety about going out into the public because I'm pretty isolated back here in the woods. But once I got out there and started doing it, I really enjoyed it. I had a great time. Because I really didn't understand that by me being so isolated and not being able to engage with people, that I was missing out on so much. But the Postmaster General at the post office here in Pembroke, North Carolina, she ran me off, told me it was private property. And I was kind and tried to explain to her. She didn't want to hear anything I had to say. So I left. I came back the next day. I had the documents to show her, you know, about the Supreme Court ruling. And I asked her, is this public or private property? And she just stared at me. I asked her, private or public? And she just stared at me. I ask her a third time. She turns to her subordinate, Gary, can you explain it to her? And Gary was like, I could see on his face, he was like, oh God, please don't let, you know, get me involved in this. I said, Gary, private or public? He couldn't answer me. And I left, and I contacted their superiors. Their superiors wrote me back basically a threatening letter, email, saying that if I went there soliciting again, and I had already explained I am not soliciting anything, that they would take legal action. But I would like to quickly say something about Sonia. Sonia has been such a great leader, and I have learned so much from her. I've learned how to be more diplomatic instead of so aggressive, but she has taught me something very important for right now. I know that I am not ready to be a leader, because looking at her and seeing all that she has done, I'm being honest. This is True Freedom Health. I know I couldn't do what she's done. I don't think she gets enough credit for what she's done, because this is a hard freaking state. It really is. This is.
Yeah. So Barbara, thanks for sharing that. To everyone listening, our movement recognizes people are at very different skill sets and very different states of commitment and what they bring. Sonia is an entrepreneur. You know, she has different skill set. Doesn't mean anyone's better. But what's really valuable, what Barbara just shared, is it's a maturity to recognize a leader is not above me or less. They just have different skill sets. You say? And many, many movements, there's a lot of ego that gets involved. Oh, I'm not a leader. That person's a leader. I'm not qualified. That's not what this is about. This is about finding people's skill sets, what they can do. And some people just have certain skills. Other people are great at handing out cards. We have a guy here, Jason, who was very, very shy when he first went out to collect signatures. He was getting 5 an hour. He ended up getting 35, 50 an hour. Now, Jason is not that great at mobilizing other people, but we need him out on the ground collecting. He ended up getting 200, 300 signatures a day. So what we are here to tell people is someone in a quote unquote leader position means that they're bringing certain skills out how to mobilize other people, communicate, interact. Now we try to teach that to people, and some people will learn it and some people can't, and that's okay. So our movement has a place for everyone. You want to hand out cards, you want to help do social media, you want to help learn how to put out flyers, right? All sorts of stuff. But it recognizes that we're in this together. We want to get the best out of people. So Barbara, thanks for sharing that.
Wait, Dr. Steve, I need to tell you one more thing.
Wait a minute, Barbara. I need to, because we have to get to the other meeting. There's a lot of stuff. Let me just finish up with a couple people, okay? But I just want to finish up. So, Anne, can you share what you're doing right now on the ground? If that helps people, go ahead, Anne.
I'm going to meeting lots and handing out cards. And I have learned some very simple things, like some windshields are too hard to get the damn card in and then it will fall off. Mm-hmm. So I'll just skip that car. If people are sitting in their car on their phone, they don't like to be disturbed. So I skip that unless they're looking at me and asking. Then I will hand them a card if they want one. I'll ask if they would like one. I have noticed that old cars have weathered rubber around the windshield, and it can fall down and through, so you have to stick it somewhere where it will stay up.
And just to let everyone know, you're talking about these cards, right?
Yeah, those cards.
You can get, and by the way, everyone listening, you can print the cards out. Some of you don't have time to print the cards. You can literally go to the website, Shiva for President, go to the shop, and we worked out a very nice deal with one of our volunteers. You can get 10,000 cards shipped to your home for $175. So order these, because we only have about 15 days left, and just plaster them everywhere. Get it up. This is offline. And the cool thing is, in North Carolina, we can actually see, as you guys know, as you're handing out the cards, who's getting them, what counties people are doing, right? And all those, to Ann's point, you hand out the cards, you can actually see who's getting the cards when they sign up, and that goes back to the local community here, which is North Carolina. Then Sonia and her team call up those people and they mobilize them. So the cards are a way that's to work better, far better than what's going on social media. We're not relying on them. The card is social media, and it's real social media. You're meeting with people. You're socializing with people. So let's go over to Nicole. Nicole, can you tell us what your ground activity has been there like?
Well, Nicole, now, can you hear me?
Yeah, tell us a little bit, as you're sharing that, about what happened in the recent period in North Carolina with the storms that took place and what you're doing on the ground.
Well, the storm was horrible, and my town is just about, I mean, it's almost back to normal, and I am looking for, I have cards too, and I'm looking forward to handing out those cards now that things are just about normal, because the cards say they're killing you. And this storm is the perfect example of, here's what my experience is living here after this horrible storm. The government didn't really get mobilized till 5 days after the storm. Meanwhile, people are, the amount of mud and water and death, like, they're lying to you about how many people are missing and dead. I hope I'm not jumping around too much, but the media is lying. The government should have been mobilized before the storm was over, knowing how bad it was. So now we have thousands of people dead. The media is not saying that, but the people here living here, we know how many people are missing and dead. And if it wasn't for people, just ordinary people, not the government, getting in their cars, mobilizing, getting supplies, working with their local fire departments and sheriffs, it's the people who were saving each other. It wasn't the government. Now, I'm not trying to, bash FEMA, bash the National Guard. They are helping in their capacity. I mean, the National Guard were flying helicopters back and forth for a while now. And, but it, like I said, it took them 5 days to get here. I don't know why. I think that the horrible leadership, that's all I can say. But it's the people, the average everyday citizens that helped each other. So getting back to the cards, people are angry. Here's what's going on here in North Carolina. There's a lot of anger because of how many people are really dead, suffering, as we speak, freezing in the cold because no one can get to them. It's a disaster here. It's a disaster. Catastrophic. And so I'm going to hand out these cards that says they're killing you, because what people are feeling here in North Carolina is the government doesn't really care about us. If it wasn't for us saving ourselves, there would be even more people dead. So I'm going to go to, we lost our Walmart. Our Walmart was destroyed. It won't be open for probably almost a year from what I'm hearing. But I can go to some little small shopping centers and start handing out these cards. I can drive down to a Walmart in Lenoir, which is about 40-minute drive. But I'm looking forward to doing that because of the anger. That's the anger of the people here about what's happened.
Well, so, I think one of the relevant things here also, Anne, is what you said, given what's going on in Ukraine, they literally sent National Guard and soldiers there to Ukraine.
Yeah.
You didn't have enough personnel right there in North Carolina. The other thing is we shipped $3.5 billion worth of equipment that could have gone to North Carolina to Ukraine again.
Right.
So the reality is that the Zionists and the swarm are spending a lot of money in Ukraine because the goal is to try to seize land grab Russia. They're playing a multi-trillion dollar game there. So they don't really give a damn about the people of North Carolina. And I think as we close this thing, You know, our card clearly says save yourself.
Right. And
by the way, if you talk to many, many people in other countries, I had a friend of mine in Egypt when all the, you know, horrors were going on there about 15 years ago. And he said the government didn't do anything. And he goes, ordinary people in their neighborhoods, he thought there was going to be chaos, but it ran perfectly. People started cleaning their own garbage. People started cleaning their streets. So the reliance on government, you realize, is actually we as people can, we actually self-organize and we figured out what's good for us. So the government has made us very, very dependent on them. So they take away our own resourcefulness. And in these disasters, you see that we as everyday people, we're all brothers and sisters. We actually all come together. The government has a significant amount of time dividing us. Right? And they make up fake solutions and fake problems, et cetera, to divide us. So I think the real lesson here is that to all of you who just joined us, I have to wrap up right now. And I want to just have, as I'm wrapping up, Eric, if you can talk about what you're doing. I know you just joined the leadership program. But if you really start looking at what we've created, to those of you who just joined us, this is about, we're talking about North Carolina and the citizens of North Carolina want Dr. Shiva for president. But what they really want is they want you guys to want to save yourselves. And everyone on this call, everyone here, you just heard their stories. If you came and go look at their stories, everyday hardworking people, everyday people who went through their journey of activism, through their own journeys. I mean, Anne's journey is very different than Sonia's or Eric's, and came to this point that we have to build a bottoms-up movement. So, Eric, go ahead. Why don't you wrap up just sharing what you're doing?
Yeah. So she was saying, it's all about being local. And you know, I've been doing the stuff where you're going into local libraries where they have a lot of the boards or you can leave off cards or posters. You know, you have small businesses that I have connections with that does the same kind of stuff. You have grocery stores, markets that are similar. You have a lot of the restaurants and even the golf courses where you can do a lot of the, you know, dropping the stuff off on the windows. With the cars. And I have actually found it to be very convenient to, if you have somewhat of a network and talking to people, everyone's kind of thinking the same stuff. Like, you know, people are frustrated with what's going on in the world. They don't know what to do. And they're looking for answers. And I find that an ideal opportunity to say, hey, take a look at this, you know, and that kind of gives me the perfect opening for them to be open to, okay, yeah, I'll watch that Chat of the Swarm video. And I've had, you know, people really looking at things differently a little bit now, which is good to see that people think that there's another option. They're not pinned in to the traditional thinking of, I have to go, you know, choose between these two people and it's only these 2 weeks that I get to choose kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, Eric, I think that's a point because people always, they think their citizenship is literally limited to November 5th, 2024.
Yeah.
And our movement is ongoing. Everyone here, we're going to continue to hand out those cards. Barbara just said, she said, I was late because I was out passing out cards. A man asked me to help him find it in the grocery store. So I helped him. I think my skill is educating people. People actually listen to me and I feel elated. That's what I'm good at. So the point is get involved. And as Barbara said, initially it was hard for her to go do this. And then you start communicating with people, talking with people, you build relationships. So in closing, I want to thank Sonia for your leadership there in North Carolina, Nicole for sharing your journey. And you know, you went through your journey. It's good to have you back. Barbara for supporting Sonia there. And Eric, we'll do a whole thing with Connecticut, what's going on there. But I really, really appreciate what you guys just shared. And everyone listening out there, know that these are everyday people. Go to Shatter the Swarm. If you're in North Carolina, you can connect with Sonia. Go to Shiva for President. You put your name in. You'll get a very immediate call from Sonia. We'll connect you up. And you'll, if you want to create friendships in North Carolina. And I think, Sonia, you want to end with saying one thing with a volunteer in Florida, right? We have a national and global community. He said he's going to come up to Florida and help, right? Go ahead, Sonia. Sonia, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, I just got a call. I got a call out of the blue, and it was a gentleman from Florida who's a volunteer down there with Truth Freedom Health, and He said, I want to go help the people in North Carolina. Can you guide me? And he wanted to start with the movement here, because he knew it was everyday people working and we would guide him. So he and his girlfriend are coming up this weekend, and they're going to spend a whole week helping however they can in the western part of the state, which is awesome.
That's great.
That's how you build community.
Great. Thank you, Sonia. So everyone out there, is about 15 days left. Hand out the cards, get involved. But our movement doesn't end with this campaign. We're playing the long game here. Running for election has given us the opportunity to build amazing people like Sonia and Barbara and Ann and Eric and Nicole, who've come together as a community there. And we're just going to keep growing. We're laying down very rock solid foundations to build the bottoms up movement. And as I close out, I just want to thank all of you. You guys can, if you want, jump into the meeting. I'm just going to play a wrap up video. Thank you all. Thanks for the time and the effort that you guys take to share your personal journeys, how you came to the movement, and then the work that you, the hard work you guys are doing on the ground. Thank you. Thank you very much. We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training, because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. What I wanted to encourage everyone to do is to get involved. We've created an entire program. You just saw our volunteers from North Carolina, everyday working people who built an amazing movement there. We're a global movement. We have an institution in many ways. You could come in and learn the theory, learn the program, and build community. There's nothing like this out there. We're playing the long game to raise people's consciousness. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com, become a warrior scholar. Go to Shatter the Swarm. You know, learn, get off the plantation, but get involved, get involved, get involved. There is no one coming to save us, and the future is us. So I hope this is valuable. Be well, be the light. And by the way, a couple of things. You can come to our open house, which I got to jump onto, which already started. Every Thursdays we have it. You can go to vashiva.com/orientation, 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. Join the open house and become a Truth, Freedom, Health warrior. It's a very fulfilling opportunity. You contribute to your own growth. So get involved. Anyway, be well, but become a Truth, Freedom, Health warrior. That's the next step. Go to Shatter the Swarm and get involved. Again, as I can't overemphasize this, there's no one coming to save us. Be well.